Hi, I'm JM Huxley, host of Color Speak, and I'm here with Chelsea Blackbird. And this is going to be a show you don't want to miss today because Chelsea is all about health and nutrition. She is the Christian, now I'm going to mess this up, nutritionist, right?
That's Christian, right.
Christian healthcare practitioner. So she's the co-founder of the School of Christian Health and Nutrition. And she has a podcast entitled The Christian Health Club Podcast. And I love what she has to say because we are in a time and a place where it is so important, ladies, that we take good care of our health as we are waiting on the Lord for the next big thing. So welcome, Chelsea, to the podcast. Please tell us some more about you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here. We'll always tell people that the work that I do is not something I ever in a million years thought I would be doing, but we know how the Lord is.
Yep.
I work in a very holistic health space. And like many of us who come to this space, it's because of our own health issues that we just could not get any answers for in the, you know, conventional health system. And so I grew up with a lot of digestive issues. I had a genetic skin condition that I went to doctors for 20 years. Mm. I've been on every pill and cream, had major surgery, minor surgery, all these things, and finally kind of hit a dead end with them where they were like, we really can't, there's nothing more that we can do for you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, all right, well, I guess this is my cross to bear. We all have our things. So I guess I just have to live with this skin condition, which was, you know, pretty horrible. And it wasn't really until I got a diagnosis of unexplained infertility, which means they don't know what's wrong with you, mm-hmm. That was the major catalyst that led me to find health and nutrition because the doctors were like, you know, we've got to move down this fertility journey. Mm-hmm. And my husband wasn't having it. He was not for it. He's like, they can't even tell you what's wrong with you. I am not on board with this. And frankly, I was a little bit devastated at that time. That was a hard time in marriage because I was like, yes, I'll do anything to be a mom.
Right.
All the treatments, whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
But because he was not on board with that, I just started desperately researching, like, what can I do to help myself? Mm-hmm. And so I found all these books about nutrition, things I could change. I found a book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. So I started employing some of those strategies. I went to a naturopath who changed my diet, gave me a few supplements, and 6 weeks later, I was pregnant.
Wow.
And I was like, are you kidding me?
What? Was that easy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I could have gone down the fertility, you know, path. Mm-hmm. And, for some people, that is the path that they need to follow. But that's what it wasn't for me. So I started digging in and studying more about health and nutrition, you know, and trying to boss my family and friends around. Like, hey, stop eating sugar. Hey, you should do this. You know, nobody wants to listen to me.
Right.
So it was finally when my best friend was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer that – and I was like – I really need you to listen to me. Stop eating sugar. But I felt like I need some credibility here. So I went back, got my nutrition education, and became a nutritional therapy practitioner. And really, you know, I didn't have any intention of working with people. I just thought, I really want my family and my friends to listen to me. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it was. But then once I completed that, I was like, there's no way I can't share this with the world.
Yeah.
And it was about that time I felt the Lord calling me to call myself the Christian nutritionist. And I was like, what? No. not me, Lord. What are you talking about? First of all, I'm, you know, really new to this work. Second of all, I'm not, I mean, I love you and I go to church, but I'm not evangelical like that. I'm not bold like that. Like, I'm very quiet in my faith. I'm not out, you know? Mm-hmm. And so this was very uncomfortable for me, but God just kept impressing this upon my heart and my brain until finally I was like, okay, fine. I will do it. And that was about 12 years ago. And that is how I've been practicing ever since. And really, and since then, I feel like, you know, every time I read my Bible, there was this lens over my eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And all I could see was health advice in scripture, even if it was completely unrelated. And so it has been such a journey, and a beautiful journey of having to rely on him because this was not of me. This is nothing I ever set out to do. I felt called to it and I've had to rely on him the entire way. And it's just been, it has been a ride, I tell you, but it has been incredible.
So there's a lot of things I can relate to with what you've just said. And I think the biggest one is just being it's the obedience part of it, right? I mean, I had told him, oh gosh, Lord, really, do I have to go on? First of all, we started on audio, but then it was video. No, no, it can't be video. Please don't ask me to do that. Would have been so much easier 20 years ago. But the reality is it's about the message, and it's such an important time to be able to help people. And if, you know, we're all called to help in some way, and this is just the way that you and I are doing it. And I was very specific in asking you, Chelsea, to come on because of the burden that I have for women. And my background is such that, and I don't know that we talked about this earlier. So I have always been into health and nutrition. I haven't been a purist by any means, but I did teach certified. I was certified as an aerobic instructor back in the day when we called it that, mm-hmm. In several places, and the last of which was a large chain across the nation that I was, well, I taught for 24-hour fitness. Okay. And so I was an instructor with them for 12 years. And so I've been highly aware of that. My kids, my husband and I moved south of Kansas City and we started a farm. And so we milked goats when the kids were young and we drank raw milk at a time when, listen, it was like the worst. I mean, even you would have thought I had told our pediatrician we were milking yaks or something, you know, like I could see it was an issue. And she and I have become friends. She's no longer in the practice and she, you know, she isn't how I perceived it, but I thought in her professional way of doing things that she just thought I was a loon for doing that. And of course, then I heard, you know, well-meaning commentators would say things like, well, I know someone that got E. coli that way or what have you. But, you know, the reality is living on a farm, there are some things that you have to do properly in order to ensure the success, the health and well-being of everyone. And so at any rate, we lived here south of town. We milked goats. I ground my own grain. The kids grew up on natural stuff. They groused every step of the way. They fought me. I thought I would pull my hair out. And now they're all talking about wanting chickens and loving goat's cheese and doing all of the things that were so arduous and such an incredible mortification for them when they were younger. So fast forward to where we are now in this time. And I just feel like there's so much that's been changing. And of course, we've all gotten a dose of mistrust of pharmaceuticals and the healthcare industry in general. I know that there are shining gems within the industry. I know them personally, but by and large, I think we all feel a lot of mistrust. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for holistic answers. Our body was designed by the Lord to heal itself. He has provided so much for us on this planet in order to do that. And I think this is an important juncture in time that we stop down and we talk about it. We pay it more mind because I'll just be the first to admit I am not trusting. And there are several reasons for that, but I really like what I hear from you. And one of the things that stuck out was you said, we need to live well to serve well. So tell me, what do you think is the highlight of what you're doing now? What do you find the most rewarding about what you're doing to help people come to terms with health and nutrition?
Sure. I love so much of what you said there. Yes. And what I do, I tell people when you feel well, you serve well, because when we are in bodies that are run down, exhausted, unhealthy, It is hard to live into and to show up for everything that God created us to be. And, you know, we are in times where I always say we need all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. We need everybody in the body of Christ out there permeating the world, you know, making his presence known. And so that is my heart, is just to help people feel well so that they can do those things. What I truly love, it's, you know, interesting. I came into this space really focused on food and always talking just about real food the way God made it. Like you said, you know, the creator of our body created the perfect provision for our body. Mm-hmm. My focus has always mostly been on food until a handful of years ago. The Lord started just kind of impressing upon me that it was more than just food and more than just exercise. As we hear, it's always food and exercise. But having me look into the creation story and showing us that we are a part of creation, this bigger picture of creation, and that he made our bodies to work in relation to creation. And so looking, when we look at the creation story, and this is, I have kind of created this program and really this template called the Genesis Prescription. Looking into Genesis, into the creation story, really everything that we need for good health is laid out right there. Mm-hmm. And it starts with sunshine and water and earth. So we do grounding, mm-hmm. plant food, animal food, the way he breathed life, breath into our nose, not our mouth. We are not supposed to be mouth breathers. Good rest, sleep, movement, and fellowship. And those are the key tenets that really contribute to our overall picture of health. And it's not just about food. In fact, the way that I present it when I teach it is that it's really in that order, that Genesis prescription order, you know, sun, water, earth, and then food. Like, you can't even have food without those first three elements, right? And so there's so many important things that we need from nature to get outside and to be connected with that we are so disconnected now. We're all inside. We're behind our computers. We're, you know, faced with all this artificial blue light, which is really hard on our health in a lot of ways. And it has been detrimental. And so I love giving this message, you know, not only to focus on what we're eating and what we're putting in our body in that way, but also the sunshine that we're getting and getting outside and connecting to the ground and getting electrons and drinking pure water and helping our body make the water that also keeps us electrically charged. So,
I want to get back to that. So remind me.
Okay.
I do want to stop down on the sunshine thing because that is a personal burden of mine. I've talked about it before, but I think it's absolutely criminal that we have been sold this bill of goods that we are supposed to slather ourselves with chemicals and stay out of the sun. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
And I just pondered this for a while because I would go out in the sun and I would feel so good. And I said, Lord, I said, why is something that's supposed to be so bad? Why does it feel so good? And I just think it's like everything in moderation, right? I mean, we don't want to overdo food, you know?
Of course.
My issue was, it was 10 years ago and it was 2014. And I all of a sudden just felt like I hit a brick wall. And so I grew up in San Diego. I think there's some degree of adaptation that I went through. And just with having dark hair and dark eyes, I just was in the sun a lot and I needed to be in the sun a lot. Now I live in Kansas City and I was raising kids. And yes, I was outside. I was in the barn on the property, but I wasn't spending copious amounts of time outside. So then the winters hit and there I was in 2014, having just gotten back from Mexico. And all of a sudden I feel claustrophobic. And I know I'm speaking to someone because I got in the bath and I thought, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? I just want to be out. I don't want to be in here. I can't take another more steel sky or wintry day. I just need to be out in the sun, running across the prairie. I had a desire to almost take all of my clothes off inwardly. Of course, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But I mean, in my mind, I thought, how glorious would it be on a summer day just to be out? So then I started getting shaky and I started having all sorts of issues and it felt dark, like darkness was closing in on me and I'd never experienced anything like that. So I thought something was seriously wrong. I honestly reached a point where I thought, I think I'm dying. I mean, I don't know what is going on. So I go into a doctor and one of my daughters insists upon going with me. So she goes with me. She's a teenager at the time. And we're sitting there and I'm telling the doctor, listen, I said, I don't know what is wrong with me. I have the best life. I have great kids, a great marriage. I live on a farm. We eat holistically. I have tremendous faith. I don't understand what is happening, but he told me there was nothing wrong. Like there was nothing wrong with me. And then my daughter said something, but mom, remember the accident? And he says, what accident? And then I shared with him, a friend had just recently overturned her car into a pond and had lost two of her children. And that's when he said, stop, I don't want to hear anymore. That's your problem. You need to be on antidepressants. So there I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've never been on antidepressants before. I don't think I need them. And then he prescribed them to me and I was on them about 30 days. And I said, no, I'm off. I told the Lord, I said, this isn't working. I don't know what is wrong. So I went into another doctor and I asked this doctor, I said, could you please do a rundown on my vitamins? Let's get a look at my blood work, because that to me would be something you would want to do. And that's when it was found that I was severely vitamin D deficient. Mm. Now, I don't know where I was on the scale in terms of numbers. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 100, I was probably down at a 12. So I knew I was very, very low. And then I started doing research with the Vitamin D Council website. I stayed away from any doctors and just started learning about vitamin D and how different cultures, whether you're at the equator, where you have dark skin generally, or those people up in the Arctic region have fairer skin and they maybe need less sun, but those that got enough that they needed, they found lower incidences of everything from diabetes to lupus to all sorts of diseases were protected against by being in the sun. Yeah. So that changed everything about my understanding of the sun. And one more point, I just started becoming like you, an advocate, and learning as much as I could and then giving the information to people. And I felt it was my burden. Well, I meet this woman that I've known actually for years. We were teaching together at a local high school for a while. And she said to me before the break, she's about 10 years younger than me. She's in her 40s. She said, I think I'm going to have to go on heart medication. She said, I am wearing a heart monitor because my heart is racing. And I thought, well, goodness, you mean she's in shape. I mean, there's no reason for this to have been the case. Mm-hmm. And I just had this nagging feeling, it's vitamin D, but I didn't want to say anything. And then she kept going through the process of seeing these different cardiologists, wearing the heart monitor to school. And finally, I could take it no more. Holy Spirit said, you got to ask her. I said, have you checked your vitamin D levels? And she said, no, I haven't. I said, I really feel like your doctor should check your vitamin D levels before you go any further. Because she at this point is talking about being on heart medication the rest of her life, mm-hmm. for crying out loud. So the semester ended and I didn't see her over Christmas break. And I'm sitting in my classroom during break and she comes in my classroom right after the holidays have passed. And she said, it was the vitamin D. It was the vitamin D. Amazing. She was so low. So she got on vitamin D and the rest is history, as they say. No heart problems, no issues whatsoever, no medication necessary. So I always tell that story because I just feel like so much of how we are feeling could be changed if we were willing to take vitamin D and get out in the sun and not believe all the hogwash we've been fed.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, I think most people, when we think about the sun in our body, that is the biggest correlation people make, is that we do, you know, make vitamin D from the sun. And that's the most well-known thing. And that is the primary way mm-hmm. we are meant to get vitamin D. That is the way God made our body, which mm-hmm. is one of our clues that the sun is not bad for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could go a lot of ways with this, but, you know, it also... Another thing that goes along with that is that we cannot make vitamin D with the sun without cholesterol, right? Like it's the way that the sun UVB mm-hmm. rays mix with the cholesterol on our skin to produce vitamin D. And so what's going on today is that everyone's prescribed a statin, which artificially lowers cholesterol, which is, you know, not cholesterol. We can't live without cholesterol. We need it for making hormones. We need it for brain health. We need it to make vitamin D. We need it for so much, but that is one facet of it. But also, just like the UVB plays a very important role in how we make vitamin D, every light frequency throughout the day offers something to our body. And so that is what I absolutely love to share. Because what a lot of people do also is they're like, oh, I need to make vitamin D. They jump out. They are not in the sun all week long. And then they jump out and go to the lake for the weekend and fry themselves silly. And that's mm-hmm. not helpful either.
Yeah.
So you really have to condition and build your, what we call our solar callus mm-hmm. by exposing yourself to other frequencies of light throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind, I'll just share some of the key things that the sun does at different points of the day that is so important.
Yes, I would love that. And, you know, as you say that, I look at myself and I'm like, wow, I look really pink today. I'm really not this pink. So speaking of, wow, she really fried herself. I don't know what the light is all about today. Yes. And I love that. And it's including, I know, like just drinking your coffee in the, if you can get out in the morning pink light, I just love it. So yes, I'm all ears.
Yeah. So there's kind of four main transitional points in the day that you want to do your best to get outside. Now, I know it's difficult. We're all working, like we said, and we have different schedules. But if you can think about trying to get outside at these different points, these are really, really key for health. One is sunrise. Mm-hmm. And so when sunrise is happening, you have your infrared and your red light. Infrared and red light are present all day long when the sun is out. It makes up about 40% of the spectrum. And infrared and red light do so many things that nourish and help the insides of our body. And so anytime you're outside, you're getting those, that natural lighting, which is wonderful. But as the sun is entering the atmosphere, so blue light is entering. So with sunrise, blue light is entering the atmosphere. Blue light signals our cortisol, which is something that we want to be high in the morning, and then we want to taper off as the day goes on. There are so many people that have adrenal dysfunction, right? Their adrenals are all whacked out. Their cortisol is all whacked out. They're totally stressed. And one of the best ways that you can regulate cortisol is by getting that morning sunlight, giving that signal into your eye. You just have to be outside and your brain picks it up through what it's getting through your eye. And it says, okay, great. It's time to make blue light. And in about 12 hours, it's going to be time to turn down cortisol and turn up melatonin. So that's one thing. The next really key point is UVA rise. So when UVA enters the atmosphere, which is about an hour after that morning sunrise, and that triggers an entire cascade of hormones to trigger. And so I always tell people, if you're worried about your hormone health, get out there during UVA rise. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that it informs our brain to help release pregnenolone, which is the mother hormone that makes cholesterol and makes estrogen and progesterone, and all this triggers down all these other hormones that we need. And so UVA is really important as well. And we also, it also builds serotonin. So happy, there you go, mm-hmm. your happy mood, that yeah. UVA rise, really critical for building serotonin. Serotonin later becomes melatonin. And so even though we're not releasing melatonin until the end of the day, we're building it during the day mm-hmm. by making the serotonin. Then you have your UVB, which is when we get vitamin D. And then we have sunset. And so that's the sunrise and sunset are kind of our bookends of the day. Sunset's when it tells our body, okay, now we want to turn down cortisol and we want to turn up melatonin. We want to start cranking that up so that we can get into good sleep. So people that have poor sleep, man, getting that morning sunrise and that mm-hmm. evening sunset are two of the best natural ways to regulate cortisol and melatonin.
So, which is, I guess, Chelsea, why yep. people are so stressed out during the summer. I mean, during the winter. I'm just thinking of my own 27-year-old yeah. who works in Dallas and she's in traffic. She has to get in her vehicle long before the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And then she's in traffic for a while, gets to work, and then she's inside. And she says, then it's, you know, obviously the sun is setting before she can get back outside. And I know that that's extremely frustrating.
Yes.
That's frustrating for all of us. So my question is, how long do people, if people can find a slice of sunrise or sunset, how long do they need to spend in that light?
I always say any time is better than no time. 30 seconds. Sometimes okay. I'm getting the kids ready for breakfast and I can't get outside. I literally open the back door and just look outside for 15 seconds. I'm like, that's better than nothing. I, you know, 3 minutes, at least 3 minutes would be ideal or more, okay, but
it's doable.
Any amount of time is worth it. And if somebody's driving, if you can roll down your window, it's not going to penetrate through the glass. Right. All modern glass, you know, blocks certain rays, but if you can even roll down your window, you can get it that way. If you are outside, even, you know, walking from your car to the parking lot and you can walk kind of slow, get yeah. a little bit more sun, any kind of time that you can snatch throughout the day to get sun is helpful.
Yeah. That's actually really good information because that way nobody need feel left out. You can yeah. even step outside on your lunch break, which I was doing. Break. Yep. I mean, you know, sometimes it was obviously in Kansas City, it gets cold, not like in Texas, but And so it's not warm like it is in Texas, is my point. Right. So sometimes it becomes a little difficult, but I was getting into a pretty good groove getting outside when I was at work and just taking a moment to even just have a bite to eat outside. Yes. And it made all the difference in the world. And then, so you always wonder why. And I did for a while, in addition to the sun, there was more to it than that. I always wondered, why do I feel so much better mm-hmm. in the summertime than I do in the winter? And I'm convinced it's also because of grounding. And yes. What are your thoughts on grounding? Because I'm guessing we hadn't talked about any of this. So I love this is all off the cuff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. He always leads us where we need to go. Grounding is huge. And so, you know, the inflammation that sometimes you feel in the form of oh my gosh, what's happening? Why do I feel so achy? I mean, I'm going to the chiropractor. I'm getting adjusted. I don't understand what's happening. You know, all of that stopped when I was able to ground and just spend some time walking across the grass. And I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Even before this interview, I took the dog outside and I did it barefoot. And I just stood in the grass for a minute and I thought, I feel better just within a few seconds. Yeah. And I know some people would say, oh, it's psychosomatic, but nope. I don't think it is.
No, I'll tell you the mechanism, which is just so fascinating, is that we pick up electrons. And so this is so interesting. And this is not disputed in science, but never talked about. Our bodies need to be in a net negative charge to be healthy, which means we need more electrons than protons. That is just how it is. We are electrical beings. That's why we can go to the doctor and get an EKG and EEG. It is when we have a flat line, we are dead, right? We are electrical beings. And that electricity comes from having enough electrons. The biggest source, reservoir of electrons is the Earth's surface. Now I say, God made our body to need electrons, to be electrical, to be in a net negative charge. Of course, He is going to provide that very easily. God does not make our healing inaccessible. Everything is accessible.
I love that, yeah.
You literally walk outside, you take your shoes off, and you have your feet in the grass, the dirt, sand, any kind of natural surface. And the electrons, we are conductive beings. So the electrons, we just pick up electrons from the earth. They naturally go to the places of the most inflammation. And so it is one of the best ways to lower inflammation, to help prevent illness and disease, because it's that electrical charge that really helps our body give the energy to fight off disease and illness and pathogens mm-hmm. and all of those things. And so yeah, that is the mechanism. So you are not wrong at all. You're right.
Thank you for the affirmation. Well, and it's funny because I know somebody needs to hear this. It's interesting. I shouldn't say it's funny. It's not. I had gone into my massage therapist. I used to think massage therapy was just a luxury. And then I realized, no, I actually need it, you know, when I'm on my feet all day or what have you. And so the first time I went into her, I said, oh, I just think I have so much stress. Or I said, I know what it was. I said, would you tell me what pillow I need? She goes, honey, it's not a pillow that's your issue. It's your stress. I can tell it's all in your back. It's up your neck, that kind of thing. So I was in there last week and my lower back was really hurting. And she said, it's not your back. She says, you're inflamed. So that's when I was just very mindful of, okay, I haven't been out in the grass for a while. It's still sometimes a little chilly here in KC. So I spent some time outside. And of course, my daughters were home. One of them was on board. She was out there in the grass with me. The other one is sitting on the porch laughing at us like, we're the, you know, the looniest. And I don't even know what my husband has to think about it. I'm sure he's thinking, oh, whatever. But it does work. And I feel just terrific right now, which is fantastic. I hope that you'll try it. So Chelsea, what I wanted you to unpack something. What was it? I just mentioned, I thought you need to go into greater detail. And I don't even remember what I was going to ask. Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I thought, we talked about the sun. We talked about grounding. One of the other things that the sun does, UV light, is help make electrons in our body. So that's just one of the other mechanisms. And an infrared light inside of our body, we have it's like a water battery. And so infrared light is something that expands that water battery. And then UV light is something that adds electrons to it. So it's just another mechanism. And it just blows my mind over these years that I have learned and discovered the way that God did make our body to work in relation to creation. All of these things that are just naturally present, just waiting for us to step out and receive them. Mm-hmm. It's like nature is this healing chamber that, you know, God has provided, and but it's up to us to receive all of these wonderful, this provision that he's given us.
Well, I agree with that. And I think it's even more than that, Chelsea. I think in this day and age where we've had so much uncovered in the past few years, just think about where we were 3-4 years ago. Think about what we know to be true now that we never dreamt of before. As the Lord just reveals so much, he exposes so much, he's overturning and uncovering so much. I would argue that there's been a concerted effort, in my opinion, to keep some of this information from us, because there's so much more at stake here than we even are aware of in terms of just dollars, the revenue captured by the pharmaceuticals who are in bed with many of our healthcare providers and insurance agencies. And so, for crying out loud, we're not supposed to know about red light therapy or grounding or any of it. And right. So I think that what's happening in this time is the Lord is revealing, wait a minute, I've had all of this available for you all along, and you haven't partaken of it simply because you haven't known about it. And now I'm going to make all of this information available to you so that you can make informed decisions for your health. Right. So the other question I wanted to ask you is, what do you think about red light therapy in your home? I have friends I know that do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I have red light panels, infrared and red light. Like I said, infrared and red light are naturally present outside all day long. And they're very nourishing on so many levels. And so, really support the body. And so, yeah, I'm a big fan. That is a way, if you cannot get outside very much during the day and expose your skin, you know, there are two ways that we take in sunlight, right? Through our skin and through our eyes to signal our brain. And both of those ways are important. But when you get the red light panels, you're getting just a wonderful dose of that. And that is a great way to do it, to get more of that exposure, that natural healing exposure, if you can't get outside that much.
Right. Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So my daughter, Emily, I think has a red light. I don't know that it's a panel, but I think it's a light she keeps next to her bed. And I think she got it on, I think she got it on Amazon for nothing, you guys. You can get it so easily. I think it's $20 or something, maybe 30, 40 at the most. And so then you just want to plug it in and turn it on in the morning, right? And then in the evening before you go to bed as well.
You can do it anytime. You can do it anytime during the day.
Okay. And for how long?
Different red light panels have kind of different strengths and things, but generally speaking, 10 to 20 minutes. Okay. When I do my panel, I have a long panel and I do my front side for 10 and my back side for 10, but I also have a little mini, it looks like a flashlight. And so sometimes when it's a little red light, therapy, flashlight looking thing. So sometimes when I'm in bed, I'll just shine it on my gut or shine it on my thyroid. Or shine it just like I'm laying there reading and it's just real easy to use. If there's any places that I feel like might need a little extra support, that's a super easy way to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most important thing? Maybe there's not one for people to hear. I mean, we've covered something I think is extremely critical to one's well-being, and that is vitamin D. And we've covered grounding. What else would you want to point out to someone who may be tuning in and thinking, you know, I'd like to know some other tricks for my health? And I know that we're not even touching the subject of food, which we should get to.
Right. Well, you know,
that's critical.
One thing I like to point out, what I share with people is it's very fascinating. You know, when I talked about in the beginning how I really kind of present this in this order of creation, right? Sun and water and earth and plant and animal food and how the food comes later. A lot of the reason that we need food is for fuel, for energy to run our body. And a lot of what we're trying to pull from our food is electrons. Okay. And so we can get electrons many ways, the sun, the earth, from food. We are meant to get them in all those ways. But when we do not get them from the other ways that God has provided through the sun and through earthing, we are more reliant on food to get them. And so I think this is a very big piece, missing piece of the puzzle when we're talking about food and cravings and, you know, our motivations to eat and such, is that a lot of times our body is being driven to eat because it's looking for energy. It's looking for electrons. And when you are getting them in other ways, a lot of that will temper out a bit. And so that's something that people don't realize is that, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the reasons we're eating is we need electrons, but we can get those in a lot of ways. So to me, that's also quite fascinating.
Oh, it's extremely fascinating. How do you know what your foods contain in terms of electrons?
Well, fats and carbohydrates are the foods that our body uses as fuel. Now, we get other kinds of nutrients and things from those as well, but that's what our body is looking for fuel. So we can get it through through fats and carbohydrates. And of course, we want natural ones, right? Good carbohydrates from the plant kingdom, produce, healthy grains, and then our healthy fats from both the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom.
And we I love that. I love that you point out the animal kingdom, because I think that people start out, you know, with the best of intentions as far as deciding to eliminate that from diets. Mm-hmm. But what I have observed firsthand is usually those are people that are struggling desperately. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll just say my own mother-in-law, and she would attest to this. When I first met her, she was a vegetarian. And then I think about 10 years, maybe after I married her son, she said, no, her doctor told her she was going to kill herself if she didn't start eating meat. And there is a reference in the Bible. It's all about God loving a good barbecue. We get that that's very clear in the Old Testament.
Smell.
There was one reference in the New Testament that really stood out to me. And depending upon your translation, it doesn't always come through, but it's after Paul has had his conversion experience on the road to Damascus, and he goes blind for those several days. He's back at the home of Ananias, and some translations will say, and he ate meat and he gained strength. And then some translations will say, and he ate and he gained strength. But there was one translation I came across where it said, and he ate meat. And it was my aha moment. Wait, he ate meat. Why don't all translations have that? I mean, it's just, right. It's amazing to me that not every translation has that. And so I think we miss it when we just elect to remove what God has designated for us as a healthy alternative. Yeah.
You know, a lot of, as Christians, I've encountered a lot of people who feel like we should be vegetarians because that's how we started out in the Garden of Eden. Right. And I'm like, well, we were also naked in the Garden of Eden. We don't do that anymore. Right. Right. We don't live, we were kicked out of the garden for a reason. And so in this time, we have been given foods from the plant kingdom, Genesis 1:29. We have been given foods from the animal kingdom, Genesis 9:3. And it's when we have that healthy mix. I mean, there's strengths from each kingdom, right? There's strengths to the plant kingdom. There's strengths from the animal kingdom that we need to fortify us. And absolutely, I find that people who are vegetarians, they do okay for a while. But then as their body is losing more and more of that critical nutrition, their health starts suffering unless they're willing to bring back some of those animal foods.
Right. Yeah. And I just think we needn't lose sight of the fact that God was the one who first killed an animal to provide the skins for Adam and Eve. He was the one who set the precedence. Interesting. So what else? Let's talk about food. I mean, over here in our house, we're all about avoiding seed oils and those kinds of things to stay healthy. Explain what that's all about for those that don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that isn't, speaking of animals and, you know, animal fats and stuff, there was such a war on fat for so long, right? And if you look back if you think back to our ancestors, think about biblical times, but even think about our great grandparents, what kind of fats were they using?
Animal fat.
Right. And if we're talking here about the United States, I mean, they weren't, you know, importing a bunch of coconut and olives to even be able to use. They were using a bunch of olive oil and coconut oil, right? They were using animal fats as their primary fat. Now, of course, now we can get access to, you know, coconut oil and avocado oil and olive oil and all those wonderful things. But these seed oils didn't really come on the scene until the early 1900s. And they were made really from byproducts of different things like cotton seed, soybeans. It's like, oh, what can we do with this leftover matter of these, you know, seeds? Oh, I'll make an oil out of it. Right. And so, whereas our, soybean consumption, I think in the early 1900s was, it was so minimal. It has grown 1,000 times. That is the primary fat that most people eat now is soybean oil. It's in most packaged products. But these seed oils, they are so inflammatory to the body, but you will hear otherwise. You will hear about heart healthy canola oil, heart healthy, vegetable oils, corn oils. Those oils, those fats have to go through a very rigorous process to become a fat. They are polyunsaturated fats, which is different from saturated fats, which means they are very susceptible to damage. They are very susceptible to light, heat, and air. To make all of those vegetable oils, they are subjected to processes of light, heat, and air. And when you cook with them, they are also subjected to those. They turn into inflammatory compounds, which we put in our body. And those, it's one of the biggest sources of inflammation in the body. It changes the composition of our cell membranes, which is around every cell of our body. And so that is one of the major, major, detrimental additions to the food supply that did not used to exist, but that does now and is really contributing to so much of the illness that we have.
Oh, it's just criminal. It's so sad. And I think, what is it? Canola oil used to be, what was it? A motor oil of some kind. And then they found it was advantageous for selling for food products. So I live south of Kansas City and I'm out in farmland, and you always see acres and acres and acres of soybeans. Soybeans seem to be the thing that's grown out here. Yep. There's corn as well.
Right.
But I think it's really interesting that for so long we were told this is heart healthy, and it's not. No. And I think that if you don't feel the ramifications of that at this point in life, you will. Because what I've noticed is as I've aged, I used to be able to eat anything I wanted. And now if I elect to have a burger and fries in town, which I do occasionally with the kids, I mean, I'm not a purist, but if I elect to do that, then I know that I'm going to have to pay the price the next day.
Right.
And so I have to be very aware of the vitamins I'm taking and things like that in order just to feel decent and not maybe even have a headache the next day, for crying out loud. And so I found that that's absolutely the case. And it's interesting that for some people, I know people in my own life that have been doing that for so many years that, for example, my mom does that. She ends up, she eats the, I don't think she watches the podcast, so hopefully I'm okay with this. She will eat her, I can't believe it's not butter. And we've all told her, we've all said, Mom, Grandma, Nana, we don't think this is the best for you. And never mind, it comes in those plastic tubs that she recycles and reheats her food in and puts things in and all of the things. So we'll say to her, we really just don't think this is any good. Well, I've lived this long. I am completely fine. And I said, you know what? Here's my argument with that. And it's not based on anything that's scientific, but you grew up in a time that you were, she was born in 1939, for crying out loud. Food looked different. And I said, so your formative years, your growing up years, your childhood and into adulthood, you had solid nutrition that's, in my opinion, carried you through. Mm-hmm. It's people in my age group, products of the 70s, where we were told at this point, oh, you've got to have, I can't believe it's not butter. You need to switch to margarine. You better not eat any fat. I think we are the most at risk, to be honest, because right. In those same growing years, we were subjected to zero nutrition. And so I think we need to be more mindful. And I know that my kids are very much, to varying degrees, alarmists when it comes to food. And I always assure them, no, you have an opportunity to write it right now.
Oh, yeah.
You can fix that because the awareness is changing. In fact, we can all fix it. I'm just saying that I think that if you're in my age group, for example, you're just in a really interesting place where you better be very aggressive in changing your eating habits.
Yeah, like you were talking about, yes, they had a more solid constitution, a better baseline of nutrition growing up to where, you're right, like when there, era we were born and raised, it was, processed food made up so much of it. And, like those, especially those seed oils, our cell membranes are made of proteins and fats. The fats that you eat are what make up your cell membranes. I mean, we want to remind people that your body is always renewing itself. His mercies are new every day. Your cells are, you're making new cells every day. It's not like you're born and you have these cells and that's it. That's the same ones you have the rest of your life. Yeah. You're making new cells every day. What does your body make those new cells with? The food that you eat. That is the raw material that makes your new liver cells, that makes your new intestinal cells, that makes your new brain cells. And so it is that choice, but especially with the cell membranes made of fat, you know, whatever fats that you choose to eat is what those cell membranes, that's, that the structure, the integrity of the cell membranes is what allows the nutrients to get in and the waste, the toxins to get out. And so depending, if you have too many of the polyunsaturated fats, of those PUFAs, of the seed oils, it can make those cell membranes too floppy, right? Where there's not enough structure. So the saturated fat will give it a little more structure. Polyunsaturated will make it more loose. You want a nice Goldilocks, right? Cell membrane. So it's, I mean, it's what I'm saying is it's really important what you choose to put in your body, because that is what your body, that's the raw material your body uses. If you're eating Cheetos and drinking Diet Cokes, well, you're not giving your body the, you know, the best material to use to build the body.
Right. And sometimes it's easier to reach for the easy things, but it takes time when you're packing your lunch for work the next day and you're making real choices, even just eating out salads. I tend to not even want to order a salad anymore because every single salad dressing is filled with that junk. You can go into health food stores and look at all of, I'm appalled. Even in the biggest health food store around, you go in and you look at all of the food that they have out, you know, on the hot food bar and the, it's all seed oil. It's crazy. So you, it does take some time to really streamline your thinking, to change things such that you're not even willing. I mean, I would get off work and I, and my husband travels. So maybe on a night when he wasn't home and our youngest wasn't back in the house, I would think, oh, I need to stop and just pick something up. But then I realized every single option that I could possibly think of, including those that were supposed to be healthy options or those at health food stores, they all have the soybean oil in them. I'm telling you.
They do.
So yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah. And that's what is sad is that people, you know, will order a salad and think that they're doing something great for their health and they'll get all this beautiful lettuce and they pour, you know, soybean based dressing all over it. I'm like, that's like the worst thing that you can do. You know, it takes years for polyunsaturated fats to work themselves out of your body. It's not like you eat something and then, you know, it is integrated into your, like we're talking about here, your cells. I mean, it's like you eat it and then you just poop it all out. Your body uses it to build stuff. And so it can, you know, it can take a while to move out those polyunsaturated fats. Yeah, you'd be much better off ordering steak than a salad with dressing all over it, 100%.
Right. Well, excuse me. There are a couple of places in Kansas City in the area that have olive oil. We have olive oil stores. And so you can get little containers. And I kiddingly said, I was buying my olive oil one day in my balsamic. And I said, gosh, I feel like I need to take these little bottles with me everywhere I go. Because if I ever want to order a salad out, I feel like this would be the best option. And they said, oh no, we have customers. That's what they do. But you know, it's hard to be mindful of taking your own salad dressing with you when you go out to eat. That's hard. It's easy to pack if you're packing lunch for work, but again, maybe not so easy because you have to be mindful of making it ahead of time and just being very intentional, I think, is where we need to be with our health these days. So,
And I like that you said, you know, you're not a purist. I'm not either. We're not going to eat perfectly 100% of the time, and to expect yourself to is you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment. I tell people number one, like my number one advice for food is get rid of the seed oils. You will always have them when you go out to restaurants. That's what they serve. So keep your home base really tight. Like get them out of your home, get them out of your cabinet.
Right.
And you only use them, you know, at home. Use the good stuff at home. And then if, you know, our bodies are resilient, our body can handle a little bit of bad stuff some of the time, just not all the time. The foundation of our health needs to be with these good, healthy foods. And then, you know, when we're exposed to some of these less than healthy foods, sometimes it's okay. We don't have to be perfect, but we do need to honor the way that God made our bodies to need this kind of nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What's your favorite food? And I know you asked this. I listened to your podcast with someone recently. It was about headaches, which I thought was fantastic because everyone I know, I don't care how old you are. If you're, I have friends in their 30s, I have friends in their 50s. I have friends all across the board that have all been struggling with headaches lately. And of course, there are those that theorize it's what's being sprayed into our air. There are those that think maybe it's barometric pressure. It's what you've eaten. It may be, as you suggested on your show, it's a combination of things. But it's so, so, so important just to pay attention to drinking water, which you've covered, and getting all those proper things. But one of the things you did on that cast was you asked your guest, what was her favorite go-to food? So now I feel like I want to ask you that.
Yeah, I ask that on every, ask every guest.
Oh, you do? Okay.
What is your anchor meal? That is when I love to hear what people say. And so, and what an anchor meal is, and I talk about this with my people, like find your anchor meals. They're those meals that you go to over and over, those go-to healthy meals. For me, scrambled eggs is a big one. And just ground beef. Like I'm always make taco meat and then I have a taco bowl or a, just a ground beef patty topped with like avocado and grilled onions.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I could eat that like every day if my family wouldn't get tired of it, but eggs and ground beef are my anchor meals. If I have those, if I got stranded on a desert island, I tell people if I had to pick one food, it'd probably be an egg because it's just so well-rounded and nutritious.
It is.
Avocados and ground beef would be a close second.
That's awesome. I feel like I had that today. I had the ground beef and the avocado, and I found some great tortillas. I think it's, what is it, siesta or something?
Oh, siete.
Siete. Siete. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I made burritos with those last night. It was so fun. But I also do make our bread here. So I have sourdough. So what I like to do is to use the sourdough and cut that up into croutons. So I feel like my go-to meal is a salad with hemp hearts and homemade croutons and all the goodies on top of it. Hard-boiled eggs. I like to keep a lot of we have chickens here. So I do have a lot of hard-boiled eggs and, you know, just fun toppers to go on with all the veggies. So I guess that would be mine. And I love salmon, but you know, I have a husband that doesn't. So oftentimes I'll say, hey, salmon tonight? Nope, not going to happen. So I have to reserve that for days he's not around.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I tell, you know, one thing I tell people, I think, you know, protein is very underrated. And it's the building blocks of our body. And I tell people, if you can just kind of plan ahead on your proteins, that really helps. Like, you know, I always say prioritize protein. What's your protein going to be? Is it going to be eggs? Is it going to be salmon? Is it going to be meat? Make sure you have that available. It's going to help keep you full. It's going to provide so much nutrient density for your body. And then, you know, play with whatever vegetables, healthy fats you like around it, like a salad or, you know, roasted sweet potatoes or a beautiful piece of, you know, sourdough homemade bread. I love it. You know, it's just, it's all delicious food. You know, it truly is. And once people start eating real food, you can really taste the difference. Your tongue is so much more discerning, and you don't, it's like that other, the junky processed food really doesn't taste good anymore.
No, I'm amazed. I mean, it's been years since I've had a bite of an Entenmann's donut, but I remember a long time ago, probably shouldn't mention names, but I don't even know if they're around anymore. In college, my roommate and I would drive to the store to get those. And now I can't even think of anything I'd rather not have. I mean, it's just like, it sounds so awful. You can taste, once you pull yourself off of that stuff, you can definitely taste artificial. And it just isn't. Yeah, it's no good.
You cannot. Yeah. When I was in college, it was all Snackwell because it was, you know, fat free. If it's fat free, it was okay. And it had all the sugar in it and stuff.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. And now that doesn't tempt me
at all. I know. At all. Yeah. Well, my daughter, who's pregnant, Rachel, she asked me, could I make her some whoopie pies? And I actually found I was able to do that without seed oils, and they were completely healthy. So you can actually, and they tasted fantastic. You can actually pretty much modify anything.
Absolutely.
And so it's not like you have to do without. You just have to be resourceful, and you have to give it some time. You have to think things out, but there's no reason that you need to deprive yourself because life is so fun and so full of good things to eat.
That's true. I always say just upgrade your ingredients, upgrade your choices. I mean, right. Like I always tell people, you know, I like to make cookies with my kids and eat pie at Thanksgiving and have a glass of wine with my girlfriends. I mean, I do all those things, you know, and it's just about, again, having that foundation of good health, making the best choices you can, upgrading your ingredients, It all comes together, but you know, it takes some intention. It takes some time. And it takes some grace, because we're not going to be perfect. There are going to be days that are off. And the key is if you can, give yourself grace and move on. It's when I always say, when we look back, like Lot's wife, and we get frozen, you know, like a pillar of salt, and we're like frozen in our failure. And then we're just like, oh, forget it. I already messed up. And then I'm just going to eat the whole bag of chips, right? Nope.
Yeah.
His mercies are new every day. Yeah. Ourselves are remaking every day. Every day is a new choice. Every day you can step outside and get sunshine. You can ground. You can, drink enough water. You can make a better choice with your food. And it's just, it is about those choices. But it is so doable. It is absolutely so doable. And God made our bodies so incredible that they can change very quickly. We're very resilient beings. And so once you really start making those changes, your body will change.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been saying, and then I'll let you go, and I'll want to hear your final thoughts. But I have been literally saying the past 3 years, I think what we have been sold, what we have seen demonstrated through the FDA, the CDC, et cetera, really has been nothing short of conclusive proof of God. And what I mean by that is that there is zero way you could possibly understand the world as we know it now and not see God's role in it, given what appears to be the intent to harm. Because if it weren't for him, we'd all be in a whole heck of a lot of trouble. Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
So I want to give you a chance to respond. And I'm looking at my computer going, oh dear, it says it's about ready to die. Of course it is. And I'm not plugged in. I'm going to have to go under the table to plug it in.
Oh, gosh. Like
being real. So as I do that, Chelsea, give us a final word.
Give us a final word. Okay. Well, just kind of what I said is, using your godly compass to embrace everything he has given you. There's so much conflicting dietary advice out there, so much conflicting things out in the world. When you're watching TV, when you're on social media, you will see be a vegetarian, be a carnivore, and it can make you crazy. Always come back to your godly compass. What does scripture say? What has God given us? And like I say, come back to that Genesis prescription. It's so very simple. It's just sunshine and water and being in nature and having some plant foods and having some animal foods. Getting sleep. I think that's very underrated as well.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Breathe, taking calm, deep breaths through your nose. The way that you breathe signals your body as to whether it's in stress or if it's in peace. Deep breaths through your nose. Spend time with the people that you love. Get away from the people that stress you out. and really just, and keep it there and move your body. It's a very big privilege. If you can move your body, you are privileged because there's a lot of people who cannot. And so, be grateful for the body that God has given you and just know that you are here with a purpose. God has made a very special way for you to bless the world. And that's what this entire conversation is about, is about feeling well again, so we can serve well, so that you can get out into the world and be everything he created you to be. And you can do that in a body of any shape, size, or shade. It's really about feeling well and taking care of your body, which, scripture calls a temple, a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are meant to steward it well. And when we do, then we can do all that he has called us to do.
Yay. I love that. Very well put. Well, Chelsea Blackbird, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really need to have you back because there are so many topics that we did not even touch on, and exercise, stretching, sleep, all of those important factors in our wellness. Yes. And so we'll have to talk again. But in the meantime, everyone, you need to check out Chelsea's podcast. It's the Christian Health Club podcast. And again, she is the Christian nutritionist. Mm-hmm. So I think if they Googled, I'll put it in the show notes, but I think if they Google Christian nutritionist, they're going to find you. No problem.
Yep.
Or just Chelsea Blackbird.
Yeah.
And what a cute name is that? Can I just say?
What's that?
That's adorable. Your name. I love it. That's awesome.
It's my merry dance. Apparently it's Scottish. But anyway. Kind of neat.
Oh, I love that. I don't even use my married name because it's just too hard to pronounce. So,
oh, really?
Identity crisis. I never know who I am. Anyway, We're here, yeah, because I wrote under JM, and so now sometimes people say JM or Jim, and I'm back to Janet. Oh, for heaven's sake, I have no idea. Anyway, thanks for joining us today, everyone. I hope that this was really helpful to you. Let us know what you think, and in the meantime, I hope that your world is filled with color and good food and all the good, healthy things that God provides you. Take care. Until next time, thanks for joining us on Color Speak.